In this pre-election 2025 mini-series, I'm going to go through a few of the points that have shaped some of my thoughts about the nation I am now a citizen of. I have spoken with many people, countless colleagues, students and friends, as well as strangers, about society and politics in Germany. There are, I suspect, many voters who will even vote for the AfD, with whom I share concerns. I wish to speak about one of those topics in each mini-episode. I ask you to be patient with me, to reflect genuinely on each argument, and to let me know your thoughts. Democracy in Germany will not come to an end, even if a more far-right government is elected. But many people will suffer unnecessarily for the policies that I believe will be enacted, and for no good reason. We will move increasingly towards a society where finger-pointing based on race will increase. I believe there will also be an increase in domestic violence against women, and that gender inequality in the workplace will also go up. Immigration laws will be tightened to an extent that significant damage will be done to the German labour market in the hospitality, healthcare, and construction sectors, among others. People currently living and working in Germany will be forcibly removed, dividing families and creating untold strain on law-abiding and hard-working people just to make a political point that in the end will benefit nobody. I believe social benefits will be cut, further complicating the lives of many people who live around or below the poverty line, including many AfD voters. I believe technology will be used to curtail our privacy and to negate our human rights. I also believe many positive steps taken to reduce CO2 emissions and to transition towards renewable energy will be reversed, with catastrophic consequences for future generations. These are the issues into which I will delve deeper. The AfD, some of its leaders and members, though not all, are racist, white supremacists, and do not care about Germany. My words are aimed at those who remain undecided. German politics is suffering from the same problems we see in the UK, the USA, and many other countries around the world. Our politicians, in many cases, have sold out their principles. There are not enough differences between the parties for people to feel represented. Almost all parties have renounced socio-economic policies based on ideals and have embraced the same neoliberal principles across the board, so that whichever party wins, the result is the same. The AfD talks like it is different, like it is anti-establishment. The AfD is even more establishment than the parties we have become disheartened with. The AfD is like the Reform Company in the UK. They are organizations run by rich people who wish to further enrich elitists. The divide between rich and poor is only going to grow further. Tuna Mike clocking out. Rise up.
Jepek kuduelo mabiro etu under mic. Dung parodit kod joke mawoye tu under mic. Seche tim sudbuta wawinji etu under mic. Wola wachokre wabed ping biwawinje erochako domomit ndi tu and a mic. Podcast makende.
The first point I wish to address is the East and West divide. Ever since I moved to Berlin, I have had the pleasure to work with people of different ages and genders, born on both sides of a wall that thankfully no longer exists. It is hard to describe a city cut in half, friends and family on different sides, access limited, always controlled, policed, and the eyes at night ever observant, dangerous, watching. Is anyone going to make a desperate break for it tonight? When I was 13, I flew from London to Moscow Sheremetyevo International, From there, a coach transferred us to the Sheremetyevo domestic airport, Soviet Union only. The difference was astounding. The international airport was clean. The domestic airport was the most run-down and filthy airport I have ever seen. As a 13-year-old, I never really cared about cleanliness. This was off the scale. When people told me of their experiences on the other side of the wall, the difference in recollections was amazing. Some people said life was great. They were never bothered by the state security, Stasi. They enjoyed their childhood. They travelled eastwards to participate in sporting events. They went to Moscow to study and met some amazing people and loved every moment. They felt free, free of burdens, free of stress. When they reached a certain age, their names were added to a list, Gete Trabi, one of these cars you may have seen made in the former East Germany. They went to school, studied, went to university if they were intelligent and wanted to. They were given a home. They were given a job according to their skills. Life was not perfect, but they got by. Everybody got by. Other people decried the lack of independence and liberty. They were controlled. Entertainment was controlled. They didn't have access to any Western products. The clothes they wore were cheap and uncomfortable. The cars were terrible quality. The work was boring. School was boring. One person I knew told me how, with a few friends, they were passing by the main motorway that led to the West, and someone threw a canned drink out of the car. It rolled down into a steep gully and they went to retrieve it. They hid that can like it was a special treasure. In that same gully, they also found a pistol once. Many years later, when they went to see their Stasi files, they found out that they had been monitored and adjudged to have been one of the most dangerous biker gangs in the former East German Republic. They were just kids. There are so many stories, some far worse, others far better. There are so many shades of truth and reality. When the wall came down in 1989, it was an event that drew the eyes of the world. It was as though the two hemispheres, East and West, had suddenly, briefly been drawn together again. There was a sense of cautious hope and the nervous thrill of the unknown, the tomorrow that could no longer be so easily predicted, the Cold War that had thawed a little. Since that day, much has happened, and I'm not sure whether many people are aware. It wasn't a case of two countries uniting. Even today, I hear people say that the former West Germany ingested the former East Germany. I have read a little bit about the Treue Hand, and about the political discussions between former politicians, and about the solidarity payment to which all have to contribute, including me. I'm also aware of how so many former West German companies were given federal cash to buy East German companies, which before long were gutted and closed down. The assets stripped and shipped west, and the local workforce left to ponder what had just happened. In an interview with Karin, who was a professor of language, she once told me that the first time a male academic shook her hand and treated her like an equal was in the former East Germany. On the grey side of the wall, women were expected to work in the same way that men were. When the wall came down and Eastern ideals floundered, it wasn't going to happen that way for the women of the East to renounce their autonomy. They were not going to become stay-at-home mums. Perhaps for this reason, many people from the former East Germany were shocked when the new unified German Republic did not guarantee a kindergarten place for all kids. How could the parents be expected to work if there was no state-sponsored kitas? Transportation infrastructure in the former East also suffered. The former Deutsche Reichsbahn and the Deutsche Bundesbahn were merged into the Deutsche Bahn. Not every route was continued. The wall separating the East from the West had fallen, but invisible walls disconnecting towns, villages and cities had gone up in the shape of discontinued rail services. The Solidarity Fund was there, but local businesses and transportation suffered. The quality of goods from the East was questioned, and they were in the main set aside. Jobs evaporated. Those that remained were less well paid. Even to this day, people in the former East are paid less than their counterparts in the former West. Schools lack funding and investment. Teachers are needed desperately. It's true that some cities have been revitalized. Leipzig is fantastic. Dresden is also wondrous. Erfurt is a little jewel. But there are significant economic issues in the former East, and they have not been addressed. There is also a social superiority complex. Terms like Ossi are spoken so much more pejoratively than Wessi. In the Bundesliga, not many former Eastern football teams are well represented, FC Union and RB Leipzig aside. It's hard to make a case for East German cars, but then again, they didn't have much steel to work with, and a lot of the resources of the former East were ransacked by the Soviet Union. Transitioning from a planned economy to a market economy has left scars that haven't healed. As much as German politicians state, they have dealt with the reunification, and it's a done deal and no longer relevant. They are either lying or ignoring the reality. The fact that today the AfD's heartland is to be found in the federal states of the former East Germany is a very clear indicator of how former East Germans feel about reunification. They have gone from the CDU to the SPD, back to the CDU and again to the SPD, and on that journey they've had Greens and Liberals of different generations. Their own socialist party, Die Linke, continues to suffer, with Sarah Wagenknecht splitting the party further and taking her unique brand of politics with her. Die Linke, despite being a real socialist party, will never receive support from West German socialists, or at least not enough to matter. And so now, there is the AfD. The AfD has made promises to the former East German states it cannot pay for. It doesn't want to pay for. It doesn't need to pay for. All the AfD needs is to get a crack at the coalition. Even if it achieves that aim, these policies will never come about. But we will look at those in more detail in the next few episodes. What I'm trying to say in this episode is the following. West German politicians have had 35 years to take former East Germans' woes more seriously, and though I am sure some have, the vast majority have not. If the AfD has risen significantly in the former East, one of the reasons for that foothold is the failure of West German political parties in representing their newest constituents and country folk. This is Two and a Mic clocking out. Rise up.
Two and a mic. Two and a mic.